Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider him. Lord, use your word tonight in our lives to teach and grow us. Thank you for the privilege. Meet with us now, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. So when we see that word, wherefore, we've got to say, what's it there for? He's referring back to chapter 11, which gives us a hint that maybe the Lord allows us to see some things that happen on earth after we go to heaven. I don't think he would allow us to see sin or pain or whatever, because the Bible says that the tears are wiped away. But he's saying, we've got chapter 11 talking about all these Old Testament saints who've done all these things through faith. And he's saying, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who's this cloud of witnesses? It has to be referring to the people of Hebrews 11. And he says, seeing that we have these witnesses watching us, that should encourage us to carry on and serve God. If you look back in chapter 11, verse 27, the Bible says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Seeing who? The Lord, who's invisible. And I believe that these witnesses are invisible to you and I now, but they still exist. And of course, the angels, we know the Bible says they're ministering spirits here in Hebrews 1:14, sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation. So we're compassed about, it says there in verse 1, with a great cloud of witnesses. This, of course, teaches us as well that there's no such thing as soul sleep, which some religious groups teach, that when we die, we just wait in the grave for the final resurrection, which has yet to come. But if that were true, then the Bible, why would it be referring to all these witnesses encouraging us to carry on? They would be sleeping. They wouldn't be witnessing anything. So again, it helps us to understand that people who have died in Christ are alive now in heaven with the Lord, like the Bible clearly teaches. So knowing these things, knowing that we're compassed about with these witnesses, saints that have died and gone to heaven, angels, knowing that we're compassed about. And by the way, go to Luke 15, where the Bible teaches that there is, at least when someone gets saved, that is made known in heaven. We know that for a fact because of this passage here in Luke 15, verse 7. Like, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. So, I say that likewise, joy should be. How can there be joy unless people are told or are allowed to witness it? But the point is, so there is an element of things that happen on earth shared in heaven. How much? How extensively? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But the Bible definitely tells us that we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Therefore, or wherefore, knowing this is true, what does he tell us to do? Verse 1, lay aside every weight. What this passage is teaching us is that we are each on our own marathon. It's not a sprint. It is a very long distance run. What's unique about it is we don't even know the distance. It's not 42 Ks. We don't know. Which means we have to just keep running. And that's what he's telling us. What does he mean by laying aside weight? Obviously, to be a good runner, you want to get aside everything that can slow you down, so you can be the most efficient runner. Whenever you see a world-class runner, have you ever seen a really big one? We haven't, have we? Brad's smiling. Lay aside every weight. Things that can hold us down. Things that can hold us back. 2 Timothy chapter 2 shows us that a soldier, which is what we are in this race, sets aside things that can slow him down. Notice 2 Timothy 2 verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So we got to remove those entanglements. We've got to remove those weights. Anything that can slow us down, including verse 1 of our passage, that which does so easily beset us. We all have that besetting sin. The beset means to hold back or cancel or to stop. And unfortunately, Satan can use that against us. So it means that we're going to have a battle, like we talked about on Sunday. We have adversaries trying to stop us from running, trying to slow us down, trying to get us off the path. And so we've got to get rid of the weight. We've got to get rid of the besetting sin and do what? Verse 1, run with patience. The race that is set before us. So we're all in a race. We know the finish line is heaven, but we don't know how far down the road it is. It's different for every person. The point is, God says, when we get to that finish line, we should be running. We shouldn't have quit and sat down. We need to be running. So we have to set aside the weight, set aside the besetting sin. Paul talked in 1 Corinthians 9 about how he keeps his body in subjection so that he can finish his race. I'll read it. He says, I run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means would I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. So he says, I'm running and I'm making sure that I'm keeping everything out off of my plate, out of my life that can stop me so that I can finish the race. And that's God's will for all of us, is that we finish this race. So, thankfully, God not only encourages us by letting us know that we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses and reminds us to remove anything that can slow us down, but then He gives us how to accomplish this. So, verse 2 is the first thing, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. So, Jesus Christ is our example, of course. He's our encouragement. He gives us direction through His Word. He helps us. The Bible says He helps those that come to Him. We can come to the throne of grace to find grace to help and mercy. Jesus Christ is there for us. So how can we run this race, which is difficult, which is long, takes endurance? Looking unto Jesus. That's how we can run the race. Because He is the author and the finisher of our faith. What does that mean? Well, Jesus is the one who made it possible for us to be saved, right? Through His blood. Revelation 1:5 says He washed us from our sins in His own blood. So He authored our salvation through His own sacrifice. But then He's also not only the author, but the finisher of our faith. Which means that if you go to Philippians 1, Jesus Christ will also finish what He started, which is another proof of eternal security. That He started this faith, He's going to finish this faith. He said, of all that the Father giveth me, I will lose none. Notice Philippians 1:6, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So He is the finisher. And as we see with Stephen there in Acts chapter 7, what did he get to see as he died? Jesus standing. We get the same thing. When we finish that race, we get to see Jesus. So He's the author of our faith. He's also the finisher of our faith. And then, so not only can we look unto Christ as the one who started it and will finish it, but we can also, as I mentioned, see Him as our example. It says, for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Calvary wasn't joy, was it? Calvary was pain and sacrifice in a lot of ways that we won't ever understand until we get to heaven. So what's this joy? It's the joy of knowing that what He accomplished for us because of His love for us. And so this joy was set before Him, knowing the outcome He endured. What's it for us? We have a joy set before us, God's presence, God's grace, eventual heaven, a mansion. We have all this joy set before us. That gives us the strength to endure, to follow Jesus' example. And as He did, as He endured the cross, we're to endure the race, looking unto Jesus and knowing the joy that God has waiting for us. He talked about that in chapter 11. Look at an example there in verse 13. These people died, it says, not having received the promises, but as it says, they died in faith, not having received the promises, having seen them afar off. That was the joy that was set before Him, for them. They never got to see heaven until they died. We don't get to see heaven until either we die or go up in the rapture, when our race is finished. So we have Jesus Christ as the author and finisher of our faith, as our example. We have the encouragement of that example, but then we also have this joy that we know awaits us, which makes the race worth it to keep on running. So the Bible says He endured the cross. He despised the shame, reminding us that there was a lot of shame for Jesus Christ involved in Calvary, and we can see that when we look at all the mockings that He went through and the pain, just the blasphemy. All of that shame He suffered for what? For us. It was okay to despise shame because it was sin. But after all that was over, verse 2, He is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ won. Amen? Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We all have victory already. God just says, finish the race. Keep running. Because it's worth it. We can look to Jesus for our strength, for direction, for help. Because our salvation isn't a creed. Our salvation is a person, isn't it? It's Jesus. The Bible says, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not Son of God hath not life. Our life is Christ, and He indwells us. So He is the one we can look unto. He's the one that answers our prayers. He's the one we're conquerors through. He's the one we have victory through. He's the one that will give us direction, protection, presence. And we can look unto Christ as that author and finisher of our faith. And then He finishes by saying, verse 3, consider Him. So we can run with patience because we can look to Christ as our example. We can run with patience because we have the joy that is set before us, which is the joy of eternity with God and God's current presence, and we can consider Him. Whenever we're tempted to stop running, and the devil does that, doesn't he? We can consider Christ. Matthew 14, you don't need to turn there, but what did Peter do? He started walking on water. Now, we give Peter a hard time, but did anybody else walk on water? Other than Jesus? No. None of the other disciples walked on water. Peter did. But what happened when he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the storm, he started sinking. And then Jesus lifted him up. When we take our eyes off of Jesus, looking unto Jesus, same thing happens to us. So consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied. So this is what the devil wants to do, is make us weary. If you've ever run a long race, you know what the Bible's talking about. You get to that point where you're just tired. And you just keep running anyway to get to the finish line, but it's tough. It just that endurance kicks in. It's no longer about how fast you are, it's just can you survive? And that's what God wants, just keep running. It's tough. And the devil's going to try to make us be weary and what? Faint where? In our minds. And any world-class runner will tell you that winning or losing a race is all up here. It's not your legs, it's not your lungs, it's your mind. And that's exactly where the devil attacks us, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons of our warfare and our carnal, but mighty through God are the pulling down of strongholds, casting down what? Imaginations. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's where the devil attacks us, is in our thought life. And then if you go to 2 Corinthians 4, the Bible tells us that we need to be careful not to faint. Because we're going to have trials on this race. Notice 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, it is very physically taxing to run a long distance race. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man, it says, is renewed day by day. How? With God's word, with prayer, with the Holy Spirit. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So the Bible says there, for which cause we faint not. God's telling us here in Hebrews 12:3, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So the battle, the temptation to quit running, is in the mind. And we've all met Christians that have stopped running. They're sitting down. They've quit reading their Bible. They've quit praying. They've quit witnessing. They've quit going to church. So they fainted in their minds. The Bible says, in due season we shall reap if we, what? Faint not. So we can't faint. And are we going to have circumstances that are going to tempt us to faint? Yep. All the time. The devil's going to keep bringing things into our lives. Try to get us to faint in our minds. So what do we need to do? Look unto Jesus. And what? Consider him. Consider the joy that is set before us. And keep running. What verse was it? Run with patience. The race. So just remember, you're in a race. And have been since the day he got saved. And God expects you to get to the finish line and still be running. Consider him. Let's pray.